The Vox Markets Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're Al.
Good morning, Jess. Yes, Tottenham actually are top of the league.
I know, I took a screenshot on after they beat Luton, is it? I think it was. And then I took it, so there we are. Save that, it may not last long.
Yeah,
but to be fair, it's lasted a bit longer than I thought.
Savour it while it's there. But Arsenal, of course, beat Man City last night, and I was hoping those two would draw. But even with that win, they're still, well, they're below us. But
it's goal difference, apparently. So you are officially, top.
I think if you look at the numbers, the goal difference is the same. So
that's what I heard from Radio 5 Live this morning. So they said it's good. So anyway, whatever, save it, Al, screenshot it, and print it out in big format and put it on your wall, frame it. cool. Okay, well, let's hope it continues. It's a good turnaround there. He's a bit of an Ange now. He's become a bit of a hero, isn't he?
He's big Ange Ball, and I was reading something about it. Apparently, he's quite an intimidating character, and that's why I think he manages from a distance. But the players will lay everything on the line for him because he's a disciplinarian in some ways. But then he lets them get on with running the show. So it's a good management style, And I think he's a bit more old school in many ways, which is no bad thing.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's talk about stocks. And first of all, a few weeks back, Al, maybe a couple of months back now, you talked about Bidstack. Mm. You came with a bit of criticism there. And what's your thoughts now? Because they've done some updates, and it seems like they've taken part of the business private, which is very odd, isn't it? A very odd move.
I have to say I am extremely disappointed in Bidstack. I really thought that, I still think the technology, the underlying technology, has a real part to play. It's a huge market they're invested into, but I think the way the business has been managed, it probably came to market too early, number one, but also the forecasts. Every single time, simply haven't been hit. They've had problems with clients. They had the big fallout with the agency, and the agency pulled everything. So that obviously is disappointing. But it's just got to the stage now where Bidstack for me is frankly uninvestable. I'm very disappointed. But that's what happens when you're investing into small companies. You spread the risk. You're investing into a number of companies, and sometimes stuff doesn't work out. And
I think questions have been asked though, because like I said, I did okay in Bidstack initially, and I shared the enthusiasm that the CEO James did, and so I did quite a few videos on it because I was invested. And then they came out with their first, like I said, set of results, financial results, and I had to sell because the forecast, I can't think of it, either 3.6 million or 5.6, I can't think of what it was now, but back quite a few years, and they missed it massively. Literally, I think they booked like 36 grand of revenue.
Yes.
I thought, what?
Yeah.
What's going on there? So, and that's continued. There's been massive, not just slight misses on these forecasts, massive misses. And you're thinking, hang on a sec, something's wrong here. There's communication between the broker and the company or whatever. How would that happen? How would it be that the broker has huge forecasts in and then they come to the market actually and they miss them massively every single time? I think four times now. So something's not right. And, these false forecasts have given sort of investors a bit of optimism, a bit of hope. And yet they've been basically had the legs pulled from under or kicked from underneath them. It's really poor. Really poor.
Well, when you're a company CEO, you make forecasts, and obviously those forecasts are based on your best estimates and knowledge of the contracts that are coming your way, and that's fine and good. And the markets will forgive maybe a slight miss or maybe a miss here and a miss there, but to consistently miss every single financial metric every time, eventually someone's head has got a role for that. And I mean, Draper is the guy heading this business up. He's been out there selling it. I think he's completely lost his credibility. And if Bidstack is to survive as a listed entity, he has to go. That's my view. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's no longer tenable. You know, the bid stack has lost all credibility in the public markets. You know, if you were cynical, you could say, well, he's just looked at the public markets as a means of raising money, no interest in delivering value for shareholders or investors. And he's just said whatever has been necessary to get them to where they need to be. Yes. In terms of raising money, and that's completely wrong, you know. And you know, I say there's some license in there, of course. You know, every CEO has to be a salesman, has to sell the dream, sell the idea. That's fine. I buy into that, but I think eventually, you know, you've got to deliver. You know, you have to stand and deliver, and he's abjectly failed to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very disappointing, as I said, for. You know, investors, and it's just. I understand. You know, startups are fraught with risk, but the picture painted on so many occasions was a lot rosier than the actual, you know, fact, the realization, the reality, and so it's I don't know. You know, we always say, you know, managers should almost. You know, under promise, over deliver, and I think that it was the other way around here, constantly. You know, so and consistently. Cool. All right. Well, Bidstack, we're out. In fact, I haven't been in for years. But okay. What's next, Al?
Oxford Cannabinoid Technologies, OCTP is the EPIC code, and Oxford Cannabinoid Technologies, as the name might imply, have developed a range of next generation cannabinoid medicines, and they've been developing and working on this for a number of years, using cannabinoid molecules which are produced by human beings, mammals and plants, and these are then utilized in the drugs and the treatment that are being developed by OCTP. Their primary program one, aptly named, is designed to target neuropathic and visceral pain. For example, neuralgia that comes through chemotherapy, also IBS and other conditions. The company has developed this to the point where it delivered its final, or it announced late last month that it had delivered its final dose of its lead compound, successfully administered as part of its phase one trial, and the company is expected to move into phase two now with the completion of that process. Edison Research published a note during September. The company is expected to develop the OCT 46201 program one. It's expected to come to market eventually by 2029-2030, which is a long way away, as is normal with so many of these drugs that are under development. But indeed the preclinical research the company's undertaken, they've also developed from that a push into the oncology area, which is another program four, the company is in good shape. I mean, the share price obviously has had a reasonable year, you know, when set against perhaps its peer group and other companies in the small other small caps generally. We've seen a drift down in the share price since March this year. The company trading at 0.8p, giving a market capitalization which is around the 8 million mark. But Edison said in their note that in order for the clinical headway to progress at the current rate that it's going at, it will need to raise further money in the future, which is normal, of course, with a company in the development phase like this. The company's cash runway currently takes it through to quarter two 2024, and obviously at that point further funding will need to be raised. But I think this technology is pretty special. It's addressing, using cannabinoids to address so many issues around pain, and as we know, the anecdotal research out there already supports the use of cannabinoids and medicinal cannabis to treat pain. And this is a company that's at the forefront of developing the drugs and the treatment programs. Clarissa Sawamima Coker is the chief executive of the company. She's done a great job since she came in early this year. She's trained as a solicitor, but has also worked with companies like Hutchison and also Virgin Media. She's worked as a management coach. And also they brought a general by the name of Tim Korn in, Dr. Tim Korn, as chief medical officer in June this year. He's chief medical officer at Nidenza and advisor to Confo Therapeutics. And he's a non-exec director at Physiomics also. So so the team are expanding. And I think, the question mark that hangs over the stock at the moment is, of course, funding in the future. But I know for a fact there are a number of funds being set up now looking at the opportunities in small caps, and there are some medical funds specifically that will be looking at these opportunities. So I think they might even find some interest from an institutional corner. So watch this space, but I think this company's got a great future.
What you know, some funds being set up? Who's this then? What are you talking about?
Well, these are I've said we talked about the small cap space and the fact that so many, well, I mean, bond out is perhaps too strong a term, but we've seen this attrition and this gradual this gradual reduction in the relative valuation of so many small cap companies, both in the resources sector, technology sector, over the past couple of years during this downturn. But opportunities are out there all the time, and at some point there will be a turnaround in the market for smaller capitalized stocks, and that'll probably come when we see inflation falling further, when perhaps lending rate or borrowing rates start to fall. At that point, I think there'll be a more risk-off approach, I'm aware on a personal level of funds being set up to take advantage of these opportunities, and of course many funds in the marketplace already. So that's a really exciting prospect. So I think there's a lot of positivity around small caps at the moment, and I think we're seeing at the various events that are being held, they're always well attended, and there are some bigger events of course coming up toward the end of the year, so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's next out?
Okay, spoken about Dekel Agrovision before. Dekel Agrovision, a company, it's a multi-commodity, multi-project agricultural company based in the Côte d'Ivoire, or the Ivory Coast. And the company is, it's north of the port of Abidjan. It has a palm oil extraction mill at Ayenavan, 2 hours southeast of, northeast of Abidjan port, and of course the company more recently set up a cashew nut project, which is to the north west of Abidjan port, called Tibisu. There have been some delays in getting the cashew nut project into production, but what I like about Dekel Agrovision, run of course by Lincoln Moore and Andrew Tillery as chairman, what I like about Dekel is that it's very much engaged with the local community. The Ivory Coast is made up of hundreds or thousands of small holders, all growing palm oil on their lands, and also in some cases growing cashew nuts too. So what the company has done, they set up these production facilities to take them to market, and of course all the smallholders can just take the harvest, take it there, get it processed, and of course they earn from it. So it's very much a community based project. So that's admirable. It's a great thing. So what we see from Deckel in terms of news flow is we see monthly reports on palm oil production, and of course, more recently, the reports on the cashew nut project up and running. And there have been some delays in getting that up and running, primarily due to equipment not arriving on time and so on. But it's now up and functioning. Indeed, in August this year, a couple of months ago, the company reported that the cashew nut operation had passed the BRC Global Foods Standard Assessment with a grade A, so you know, full marks. The team said that daily production at the plant was growing, but the company is going to be providing a full update on production at the plant with a general trading update later on this month. So we're in the run-up to that now. In terms of palm oil, in August, the company reported a sixth consecutive month of stronger like-for-like production, but production levels still well ahead of still well ahead of the first half of 2022. In September, the company reported interims, first half revenues of just under 21 million euros, up from 19.5 million euros last year. The company said that timing had impacted on this gross margin and EBITDA due to timing of production, also that some of the weather hasn't sort of as we found out elsewhere in the world, some of the weather over the year hasn't been particularly good for the crops, but high volumes then continued into second half to 2002, so we should see those shortfalls addressed into the second half of the year. So as we stand now, the share price is currently trading at 2.55p, giving the company a market capitalization of 14.2p. Seeing the shares as low as they've just dipped under 2p in March this year. That was due to the delay in restarting or starting up the cashew nut production. Then it shot up to nearly 4p, so we're back down to 2.5p now. So a mid-range, probably a good time to buy in, or you may want to sort of find out what the production numbers are like later this month before you dip in. But either way, it's a great company, and I think also it's a very good investment for sustainability and supporting community.
Okay, nuts or hazelnuts? Right, what's next, Al?
Nuts, whole cashew nuts.
Yeah.
Okay, finally, this is an interesting company. It's a company called East Star Resources. It's interesting because it's a company that is based in Kazakhstan, which... Yeah. Okay. So there are bull points and there are bear points on this, but I think you have to consider everything when you're sort of considering this as an investment proposition. Now the share price currently at 1.4p gives it a tiny market cap, just 2.5 million. Has been as high as 5.1p on the year, and it's just off those year lows now. But that's not untypical of companies in the sector. So Kazakhstan is a vast place, size of Europe. It's a global mineral powerhouse. The government there introduced a new set of mineral laws, which are in line with Western mining coding. Added to which, the operating costs there are very low indeed. And this is also borne out by some of the major operators that work there, namely Rio Tinto, Fortescue Mining, the Australian mining giant, and of course Glencore. There are many brownfield drilling opportunities in the country. There's been a lot of historical mining activity. Of course, through the center of the country, there's a transport corridor, that's a road and rail network that links to China and to and the other way to Europe. So East Star has three primary projects. They have a copper, zinc and lead project to the east of the country. There's a there's a rich exploration target there of 19.2 million tons of copper between 1.4 and 1.59%. There's a rare earth project in addition to this in the centre of the country at Talaric, which has a non-compliant resource estimate of just under 20,000 tons of total rare earth oxides. And in the south of the country, so it's below the central transport corridor, they have gold licenses targeting some 1 million ounces of gold. Lots of artisanal workings in the area. Again, you know, the size of the country is sparsely populated, very hard to sort of keep track on people. So lots of people have gone there and just, you know, taken a spade and a fork and started digging. But the country is rich with minerals. They've established a 10-kilometer strike zone down there and demonstrated gold grades or economic gold grades at economic level at the Apmintus and Dalny prospects. So there have been a series of developments. The company's just raised £540,000 to advance its VMS licenses, raised that money at 1.5p, so above the current share price. Also significant that Alex Walker, the chief executive, and the major shareholder, Iwella Pty, participated. Iwella to retain their near 70% stake. And Alex Walker, the chief executive, you know, very much got his feet on the ground there because he lives and operates out of Almaty, which is, of course, the central of Kazakhstan. So anyone who's watched The Long Way Around with Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman will have seen their visit to Almaty. It's quite a city. So the proceeds from that raise are going to be used to develop the Vakuba copper deposit. We've got drill results out this quarter, further drilling towards the draw resources, and also further mapping and analysis work. So that should take the company forward to the next stage. But at these levels, 2.5 million market cap, you know, if you've got a CEO who's on the ground there, he speaks regularly on social media. So I think this company is worth a closer look.
Okay. All right. Well, how close should I get?
Well, move closer. Take a look on social media.
Okay.
Good website too. Good website too, by the way.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll check out the website then. Marvellous stuff. Al, thanks for that. And we'll speak you next weeky.
Cheers, Just. Speak you next weeky.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.